الحمد لله الحمد لله كفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى أما بعد فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد فلما أسلما وتله للجبين وناديناه أن يا إبراهيم قد صدقت الرؤيا إنا كذلك نجزي المحسنين وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يكون هواه تبعا لما جئت به صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الحبيب الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. Most respected elders and brothers in Islam, right from after Ramadan, from the day of Eid, the first of Shawwal, right until Hajj, these are all known as the months of Hajj, Ashhurul Hajj. Shawwal, Dhul-Qa'dah, and Dhul-Hijjah. Every year we go through these days, these months, very blessed days, blessed months, blessed moments. It's a yearly cycle that we always go through. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us this opportunity once again to experience these very, very blessed months. But what we have to learn from these days, these moments and these months, we have to learn the lessons that they teach us. These things are repeated. Repetition, إذا تكرر الكلام تقرر في القلب. That's a principle that is what the ulama have mentioned in Arabic, that when something is repeated, it generally settles in the heart. And this is what we have to understand. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala repeatedly makes us go through these Mubarak nights, days, months, at different junctures in our life, for us to take a lesson from them. These months, generally, we go through two very important occasions, momentous occasions that brings back memories of what happened in the past. Generally, when we talk about the past, what people say that we are talking about the camel ages. We've heard this before. But brethren in Islam, take a lesson from these things that have happened in the past for us to rectify our lives. Like we find Hajj. The ulama have given different explanations. I will just mention one which the fuqaha and the jurists have mentioned. أَفْعَالٌ مَخْصُوصَ فِي زَمَانٍ مَخْصُوصٍ فِي مَكَانٍ مَخْصُوصٍ. They've mentioned, the fuqaha, the jurists have defined Hajj as being specific actions in a specific place at a specific time. Specific actions. That is, for example, a person is making tawaf, he's wearing ihram, he's going to Mina, Arafat, Muzdalifah, he's pelting. These are specific actions. They are not actions that are done anywhere else, but for the sake of Hajj and Umrah at that place. Fi zamanin makhsus, at a specific time. In the entire year, we know we cannot carry out Hajj. Except in those days, the 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th and 12th. And very meritorious it will be for a person to add on the 6th day, that is the 13th. So only at that time. And thirdly, في مكان مخصوص, in a specific place. And that is there in Makkah Mukarrama, in Mina, Muzdalifah, Arafat, etc. So specific actions in a specific place at a specific time. We all know Hajj cannot be carried out anywhere in the world. But that place, at that time, and those specific actions. That is just the definition that some jurists, fuqaha, have given for Hajj. Like that, there's spiritual benefits, there's great rewards, many lessons to learn from this repeated action of Hajj that we experience every year in our lives. The ulama have mentioned that Hajj is such an action. Many details ulama have given. One of them is that when it comes to Hajj, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned, وَلِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ حِجُّ الْبَيْتِ مَنِ اسْتَطَاعَ إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا. When it comes to salah and namaz, أَقِيمُ salah. Instruction is given. Perform your salah correctly. آتُ الزَّكَاةِ, give your zakat. When it comes to fasting, كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ. Fasting has been prescribed upon you. Like that, the other rituals and actions that we have to carry out. But when it comes to Hajj, Allah declares it in the Quran Sharif, وَلِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ حِجُّ الْبَيْتِ مَنِ اسْتَطَاعَ إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا. That, first and foremost, Allah says, وَلِلَّهِ. This لِلَّهِ, meaning, your Hajj is only and only for the sake of Allah. Not for any other reason. Famous hadith we've heard many times. Close to Qiyamah, people will go for Hajj for different reasons. Some to show ostentation. Some to boast. Some to become rich. For different, some will go just for leisure time. For different reasons. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not say, go for Hajj. He says, walillah. Only for Allah. When you go for Hajj, only for Allah. وَلِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ, compulsory upon the people who have the ability. حِجُّ الْبَيْتِ, make Hajj, make your intention. Ulama have mentioned when it comes to the grammatical aspects and the meaning behind the literal translation of the word Hajj, means intention. النِّيَّةِ, الْحَجُّ النِّيَّةِ. Ulama have mentioned Hajj is intention, that you intend to go to that place, to the Kaaba, to Makkah Mukarramah. Many explanations have been given. مَنِ اسْتَطَاعَ إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا, whoever has the ability. That is why the rewards are so great, because you are doing it specifically for Allah. مَنْ حَجَّ لِلَّهِ فَلَمْ يَرْفُثْ وَلَمْ يَفْسُقْ رَجَعَ كَيَوْمٍ وَلَدَتْهُ أُمُّهُ كَمَا قَالَ. Hadith is clear on this, that a person makes Hajj for the sake of Allah, without any distractions, without doing anything incorrect in Hajj. Rewards are so great. He returns from Hajj like the day his mother has given birth to him. Warnings are serious. A person does not perform Hajj. Nabi Kareem Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Whose rahmatul lil alamin, mercy to all the universes." But he says, "Fala alayhi ay yamuta yahudiyan aw nasraniya." A person has the ability for Hajj and he delays, like how we find so common today. No valid reason acceptable in Sharia. I repeat, no valid reason acceptable in Sharia. How many will delay for no reason? Hadith is clear that I do not, he says, Nabi Kareem Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, that I do not care whether that person dies as a Jew or a Christian. Stern warning. Great rewards. But what's the lesson to learn from Hajj? Very important lesson to learn from Hajj. There are many. I wish to just mention one of them, and that is the aspect of submission. The submissive nature that was supposed to be the innate inherent quality in all of us. The innate inherent quality of all of us was supposed to be the submissive nature to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the words of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A person does not question Allah. Oh Allah, why do I have to go to Makkah Sharif? Why do I have to go to Mina? Why I have to go to Muzdalifah? Why I have to go to Arafat? Why on this system to follow? This sequence to follow? Why must I pelt one on this day? Why must I pelt three on the second day? Three on the third day? Why must I do it in certain times? Why must I make tawaf in this way? Why tawaf sometimes does not have sa'i with it? Safa and Marwa with it. A person submits to Allah. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the instruction to Ibrahim alayhi salam, وَأَذِّنْ فِي النَّاسِ بِالْحَجِّ, lengthy ayat, lengthy explanation, that announced to the people to come for Hajj. No questions were asked. And there we know the details. مَنْ لَبَّى مَرَّةً حَجَّ مَرَّةً. Ulama have mentioned a person who said in Alame Arwah, when we were in the form of our ruh, a person that labbaik once, he'll go for Hajj once. مَنْ لَبَّى مَرَّةً حَجَّ مَرَّةً. Person is labbaik twice, he'll go twice. مَنْ لَبَّى مِرَارًا حَجَّ مِرَارًا. A person make red labbaik at that time, with the will of Allah, many times, he'll go for Hajj accordingly. No accreditation, no wealth takes you. Yes, we use the means. We adopt the permissible means. But remember, the call comes from Allah. When the labbaik is there, whatever the circumstances can be, it can be against your situation too. It can be against the apparent means. Allah wants to take you, He'll take you. We've seen it so many times in so many people's lives. The poorest of poor, you'll find they're coming for Hajj. Allah has made them His mehman. Allah has made them His guests. But the lesson from Hajj is the submissive nature. Whether it comes to our worship to Allah, our namaz, our zakat, our fasting, our roza, our Hajj, our charities, we submit to Allah. Whether it comes to every facet, every walk, every aspect of life, our business life, our marital life, with regards to our wealth, with regards to our inheritance, with regards to our wills and estates, every aspect, every part of our life, we submit to Allah. It's not that a person merely in the masjid, in Ramadan, at certain occasions, is a pious person, obedient servant of Allah, but rather in every aspect of his life. Today we find very commonly, many people make the statement, which I've heard in my own ears, that do not mix Islam with my business. Astaghfirullah. Do not mix Islam with my marriage, walima, nikah and all these things. Islam is separate and that is separate. Brother in Islam, Islam is not a unilateral religion. It's a collateral religion. It's a conglomeration. It's an embodiment of so many things together. It's just not Ramadan. It's just not our fasting. It's just not our namaz and salah. Not just in the masjid. Not only Hajj and Umrah. Not only our charities. Not only having good akhlaq. But it's a conglomeration, it's an embodiment, it's something made up of so many things in it. This is what Islam is. And this is what Hajj teaches us, where the Sahaba said, سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا. When they heard the injunction given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, instruction given, what was their response? سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا. We heard and we obey. No questions asked. I have to understand it. I must know the wisdom behind it. Then only will I believe. Then only will I accept. So commonly today we find, how many will question us? What's the wisdom? What's the reason? And only when they, with their limited understanding, will try to understand the wisdom of Allah and reason of Allah, then only will they accept. This is not supposed to be how a Muslim, how a mu'min, how a believer lives his life. A Muslim, what does Islam mean? Aslama, Yuslimu, Islam, Muslim. It means to submit to Allah. In every aspect of your life. Whether it conforms to your logic or not. Whether you understand or not. Whether you fathom or not. Whatever the situation be. Whether it is conducive to your environment that you feel is not conducive to my environment. We have to make our environment conducive to the laws of Quran and Hadith. We must not wait for Sharia. For Islam, for Quran, for Hadith, to be conducive to us. We must make ourselves conducive to that, where we must accept it. How many times, when it comes to disputes, when it comes to talaq, when it comes to inheritance, how many times you'll find people doubting, denying, rejecting, mocking, ridiculing the laws of Quran and Hadith. And this is what Hajj is teaching us every year. That submit to Allah. Submit in every aspect to Allah, whether you understand or not. Question ourselves. Question ourselves. What is our understanding in comparison to Allah? our understanding, our logic, our level of reasoning, wisdom, in comparison to Allah. There is no comparison. We can't even call it a comparison. So why then do we question? Why then, when it comes to our business dealing, we want to reject Quran and Hadith? When it comes to talaq, common thing today, when it comes to divorce, we want to question why this and why that. When it comes to our wills and estates, inheritance, questioning, why must the woman inherit in this way? Why must the wife be like this? Why we are restricted in this way? How common, respected brethren in Islam, how common it is today. Person, mashallah, is a 5-time namazi, worshipping Allah, pious many times with his outer dressing, outer appearance, in his statements also. Person passes away, you see his will, completely against Sharia. Completely against Sharia. One example I'm only mentioning. Like that, there's so many examples to mention. So in every aspect of our life, سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا. When we hear, we obey immediately. Mulla Ali Qari rahmatullah alayh mentioned an incident of a person who heard one hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in which it is mentioned, a warning has been mentioned, that person who precedes the imam, he goes before the imam in namaz, in salah, in his postures, he should fear that his face be changed into that of a donkey. This person doubted the hadith. He mocked it, doubted it, ridiculed it, disdained. He made a mockery, a statement of mockery, where he mentioned, how can that happen? If I precede the imam in postures, my face will be changed to that of a donkey, how can that happen? With that he went to the next salah, next namaz, and intentionally mocking the hadith, rejecting it, denying it, the words of Nabi Kareem, Muhammad Mustafa, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he does so. He precedes the imam, he goes before the imam in his postures. Mulla Ali Qari, great muhaddith, muhaddith azim, great commentator of hadith, he says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed the people of the time that his face was changed into that of a donkey. Again, he did not have that submissive nature in him of hearing the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and accepting it, whether it conforms to his logic or not, whether he likes it or not. Sahaba were such, وَافَقَتْ هَوَاهُمْ أَمْ لَمْ تُوَافِقْهَا وَاتَّفَقَتْ مَعَ عَادَاتِهِمْ أَوْ لَمْ تَتَّفِقْ. They accepted, they listened, they obeyed, whether it conformed to their whims and fancies and desires, whether it agreed with their habitual practice or not, whether it was conducive to their environment or not, they made themselves conducive to Quran and Hadith. As the Hadith I mentioned at the beginning, I recited the Hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, "La yu'minu ahadukum hatta yakuna hawahu taba'an lima ji'tu bih." None of you will be a true mu'min and believer until his desires, his whims, his fancies, his feelings, his emotions, his passions are in conformity to what I bring, what I have brought, what Quran and Hadith mentions. Until our desires, our feelings, our whims and fancies, our passions are not in conformity to Quran and Hadith, the Hadith says such a person cannot call himself a true believer, a true mu'min, a true Muslim. Another incident comes to mind where the person heard the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in which he states that when a student sets out to acquire Islamic education, angels spread their wings for such a person. Many rewards have been mentioned in hadith. Many rewards. One of them being that when a student sets out to acquire Islamic education, the angels spread their wings for him. Allah makes his way easy to Jannah. And like that, so many other rewards. This person heard this hadith. He says, angels will spread wings. Where are their wings? Mocked the hadith, denied it, laughed at it, ridiculed it. And he began, when he went out to some masjid, to some place, to learn, to benefit from the talks of deen, which we should all make that intention. Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi even mentioned that a person that comes for Jumu'ah salah, for Jumu'ah namaz, that is termed fi sabilillah, in the path of Allah. He is treading and he is walking, he is going and traveling in the path of Allah. That is why, to the best of our ability, to come early for Jumu'ah salah especially. So this person When he heard this hadith, he said, let me go and learn something. But while on my way, I will see where those wings are. I will stamp my feet on the ground and I'll break the wings of those angels. What a fool he made of himself. Ulama have mentioned in the books that this person did so. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed the people of the time and for till Qiyamah. Allah made this person paralyzed, half body down, the bottom part of his body, he was completely paralyzed. We can see from this challenging Allah, challenging Quran, challenging Hadith, what a serious nature it is. Not having this submissive nature. When we hear certain stern warnings of dealing in interest, for example, of zina, adultery and fornication, of halal and haram, business dealing, and like that, there's so many things on the list. We normally disdain, look low, belittle. We don't think great of these things. How can it happen? I've done it so many times. Nothing has happened to me. And then we challenge Allah. Another incident comes to mind of the end, the last verses of Suratul Mulk. تَبَارَكَ الَّذِي بِيَدِ الْمُلْكِ وَهُوَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. First Surah, 29 Juz and 29 part of the Quran Sharif. At the end, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us that who is providing you this water? Allah. Allah makes the water come from the skies by rain. It's stored at the bottom and then brought out for you and you'll be able to drink that water and use the water. قُلْ أَرَأَيْتُمْ إِنْ أَصْبَحَ مَاءُكُمْ غَوْرًا فَمَنْ يَأْتِيكُمْ بِمَاءٍ مَعِينٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes that water being sunken into the ground, who will be able to bring you water? If Allah makes the water such, it rained from above, it was sunken into the ground, no way of taking it out, Allah takes it out, you are only used as the means. Allama Mahalli in Tafsir Jalalain, he mentions that, قَالَ بَعْضُ الْجَبَابِرَةِ تَأْتِي بِي الْفُؤْسُ وَالْمَعَاوِلِ. What a fool he made of himself. He challenged Allah. Said, Allah is saying in the Quran, He brings the water out. I will bring the water. I will get my instruments of digging, of drilling, and I will take the water out. Allah does not do it. Challenge Allah. Allama Mahalli, Tafsir Jalalain mentions that, ذَهَبَ مَاءُ عَيْنِهِ. The water of his eyes disappeared and vanished. He became completely blind. Allah showed him, you thought you'll take the water out. You challenge me. Do not submit to what I say. Do not accept what I say. And you challenged me. I showed you today that the water of your eyes disappeared. Who will put the water back into your eyes? So that you can see. So that you can be such a person who can visualize and see things. What we learned, the important lesson, time has expired, of Hajj and also of Qurbani and slaughtering that animal. Ibrahim alayhi salam, Ismail alayhi salam, when the instruction was given to them, father to slaughter the son, no questions were asked. Oh Allah, this is murder. Why must I slaughter? Why must I do this? How must I do it? For what reason I must do it? فَلَمَّا أَسْلَمَا. Allah says, when they both, father and son, submitted to me. Hajj teaches us, Qurbani, slaughtering an animal, teaches us submit to Allah. In every facet of your life, your dealings, your inheritance, your will, your divorce, your marriage, your nikah, your walima, not only for your salah, not only for your zakat, not only in Ramadan, in every facet, every walk of life. May Allah give all of us tawfiq to bring this very important quality in our life. Without challenging Allah, without doubting on the instructions, injunctions given to us in Quran and Hadith, without challenging Allah, but have this submissive nature in us. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله.